Hello and welcome to a special edition of Authors Access Live. This program was recorded in front of a live audience on November 9th, 2008 at the 5th annual Essence of Motown Literary Jam Weekend at the Southern Fires Restaurant in Detroit, Michigan. For more information on the Motown Writers Network, please visit www.essenceofmotown.com. Authors Access Live is brought to you by www.authorsaccess.com. Our talk featured today is Ryan Johnson of Guild of Blades Retail Group.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Ryan Johnson. I'm here with my wife today, Amoy Johnson. I'm with a small print-on-demand printing company called the Guild of Blades Retail Group. We're kind of an interesting little mix of a game store and print-on-demand book publishing, and we do print-on-demand for custom like playing cards and photo cards. And we have a retail store up in Madison Heights where we do all this kind of jumbled together. And I don't really have a large presentation here for you today, but we just wanted to come in and introduce ourselves and present some samples and things like that and of what we do. I don't know how many of you have already published. How many of you have independently published? Okay, so do you mind if I ask what kind of printers you're using? How many of you went with an offset, larger offset printer?
Lulu.com.
Lulu.com, yeah.
I'm with AuthorHouse.com. They're a print on demand.
Right, yeah. There's probably about 20 print on demand. A number of them you have to kind of watch out for. They're what they call vanity presses. And that's where they charge you a big lump sum fee to publish your book, but they don't really publish anything. They print your book. Maybe they might slap an ISBN on it, which you don't want them doing. ISBNs, just in case, and this is something that I know Lulu tries to sell ISBN numbers. For those of you that are familiar with Lulu.com, they'll sell you an ISBN number. You don't want that. Well, the reason ISBN number is RRBoker.com, the Boker company, is the company in the United States, the only company that authorized to issue ISBN numbers. That ISBN number is your company identification number. Your book gets to be popular, and Barnes & Noble and Borders want to research your company and find out. They get a copy of that book where they find out what your ISBN number is. They want to know who you are so they can order, 10,000 copies or whatever. Well, if Lulu sells you an ISBN number, whatever name your publishing company is, that's not what Boker sees. They see Lulu.com as the publisher. And anybody, the ISBN numbers go into a database. The Boker maintains a database of all ISBN numbers that it issues. They're sold to all your major booksellers, so it's Borders, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. Every last one of those companies, Lulu comes up as the publisher. You don't get any if you're trying to build a reputation for yourself and your business, it's not going to, on the business end, in the book chain markets, that ISBN number is your identification. If you buy an ISBN number through a third party, they basically, what they've done is, you can buy ISBN numbers and buy one, or you can buy them up to a whole block of 1,000 of them. My company was fortunate when we wanted to get into game publishing, back in the late 90s, we bought 1,000 of them. They only cost like, $300 or something like that. Nowadays, they're charging like $75 for one of them if you buy it direct. But you can still buy blocks up with 1,000. And then as a publisher, if you've published more than 1,000 products and or new editions of existing products, you can buy another block of 1,000. But each block that you buy, all 1,000 numbers of that block, it only those off. No number in that block can be ever be assigned to another publisher. Whether you bought one or you bought 1,000, there's a prefix as part of that number system that identifies that entire block as yours. So, if anybody's ever sharing those numbers, they're basically, if I want to sign you, if I say, oh yeah, I'll print your book and I'll give you one of my ISBN numbers. Well, our other company that we have that does the game publishing, Guild of Blades Publishing Group, if I gave you one of those numbers in the Boker database, you'll show up as being your book would be showed up as not as your company name, but as our company name. And then whoever's looking up that information in the ISBN database, you get my company that contact information. You guys would be out of the loop, basically.
That's how they sell your book.
Do you do media for CDs and things like that? So if an author's going to do an audio version of their book or something like that?
No, we haven't gotten into stamping CDs and things like that. I know some sites where they, you can get affordable prices on those things, but. No, we don't do the print-on-demand for like digital stamping. We stick with two things, books and cards, pretty much.
Yeah, I have some authors that want to do affirmation card decks and things. What are the pricing models for making a card deck?
Affirmation cards?
Yeah, like affirmations that support their book. I do self-help books.
Okay.
And they'll be like a daily affirmation kind of thing, and they'll be 30 or 50 or 70, and they want each on a different card with them.
Okay.
Full color back.
I have some samples of some print-on-demand cards. It's a rather new technology. As far as I know, we're pretty much the only company in the United States that's actually doing it.
Wow.
Having done it, I understand why. It's a very finicky process. But anybody that wants a sample, we just got some sample cards. Each sample card has got a little pricing packet in the back. Basically,
yes. Back when I did my research, I couldn't really order less than 1,000 decks, and I didn't want to commit to, 1,000 decks of cards spread off the back.
We just opened up the store in Madison Heights. We're in John R. Road. Well, we don't do magnets, but honestly, I haven't seen this in print prices lately. We have brochures there. Anybody wants it? We have a brochure, and the other thing we have with us is a print-on-demand pricing model for 6 different sizes of books. Now, I know. Kind of, this is like my little pet peeve with Lulu and places like Author House and things like that. My other company has never actually published a novel because we grew up publishing games. But basically, there's an awful lot of similarities between them. I have some book samples here. I'll be willing to pass around to everybody today. With the exception of this little book here, they're all, three of these books are games. But a book's a book, so a book. What you write inside it, up to the author. Where what you write is determined maybe where you're going to sell it. But when it comes to the process of making a book, it makes no difference what's in it. But in 14 years of publishing games, I've seen literally in the game market, and I've seen a lesser degree in the book market, simply because I don't have as much familiarity with independent publishers in the book market. But in the game market, I've seen probably 400 or 500 people publish their game, and they get it out there, and they fold up shop within a year or two. And a lot of that just basically boils down to making some bad purchasing decisions on how they choose to produce their products.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, the card games. Until just recently, there was this gigantic belief that if you're going to produce a card game, well, the common wisdom says, okay, you got to go send it out to China or India, the manufacturers out there, and you got to print about 3,000, 4,000 packs, which makes absolutely no sense for these little micro publishers who are selling about 100 or 200 decks a year. That's 15 years worth of inventory. I don't know you guys, but every business model I've ever said says sitting on 15 years worth of inventory, not good.
Not good at all.
And in the book market, that's where print-on-demand comes in. I'm not going to tell you print-on-demand is for everybody, because it's not. If you've got the right media connections and you've already got a major book chain buyer interested in doing a test run and some things like that, if you have any chance, frankly, of selling 1,000 books or more within the first year or two, and you're confident that you can do that and spending the money on a thousand or 2,000 book print run is not going to like be a big risk factor for you, then that's the way to go, because you will get a book cheaper that way. But if you're kind of testing the waters with the market, when you want to get your book out there and get 10, 5, 50, 100 copies of the book, so you can kind of get it around to friends, family, book reviewers, and put it in the hands of potential buyers at retail stores and chains like that, then that's a much simpler way, a less risky way to print your book. I think with our books, what you'll find is basically Lulu.com. And this is my pet peeve, because Lulu, I'm going to pick on Lulu a little bit. Simply because Lulu really isn't a printer. Lulu doesn't ever print a book. Lulu is an IT service company. What Lulu does is Lulu has created an interface on the internet where you can upload your documents to. It cobbles together, it cobbles your documents in whatever format you put it in, into a PDF that printers can handle. Sometimes it does a good job of that, and sometimes it doesn't. It depends on what you're uploading into it. But basically, Lulu is just a middleman. They work with here in the United States. They work with two different printers. I don't know how many of you heard of a company called Lightning Source.
Yeah.
Lightning Source is Lulu's primary printer. So every time you order a book through Lulu, it's most likely getting printed by Lightning Source. But more recently, Lulu's kind of been working with some other printer, and I honestly don't know which one this is. I'll eventually figure it out. But and that's why Lulu just recently introduced like a price increase on one sort of books that they do, and not a price increase on another. And it's simply that with like Lightning Source is owned by Ingram's Book Distribution. They're the world's largest independent book distributor. I think Random House might actually be bigger, but they distribute most of their own titles. And basically, that's kind of Lightning Source's whole business model is getting print-on-demand books and making them available by special order into the book chains. Very few books produced through Lightning Source get real distribution into the book chains. It's important people understand that, because Lulu's out there selling distribution packages, which their distribution package is basically nothing but the setup cost that Lightning Source charges for a distribution package plus a little extra on top for themselves. And Lightning Source's distribution package is simply that they will make your book available for order at these various chains. But that doesn't mean Barnes & Noble and Borders are stocking it. They're not available at normal discounts. Most books chains get about a 45% discount from their distributor when they're buying your book. So if your book's priced at $20, they're buying it for $11. And most of the time with major book media, they want returnability. If it doesn't sell after 3 months, they're going to send it back to the distributor and get a credit for it. And the distributor's going to send it back to the publisher and get a credit for it. They don't get that with print-on-demand books. They don't get that anywhere. No one prints books on demand and gives a returnability clause through the book chains. So print-on-demand has its places, and print-on-demand is a great way to get started. And if you're going to sell largely direct, you have your own distribution methods, you have your own salespeople, you have your own website to sell off of. Print-on-demand is a great way to get your books out there without having to buy a 2,000, 3,000 book run. I always like to dispel the illusion that just putting your book into one of these print-on-demand houses, whether it's us or whether it's Author House or whether it's Lulu.com, your book is not magically flowing into the book chains. It just doesn't happen like that. It might get on a list. Once it's assigned an ISBN, you get that ISBN number, it gets uploaded into the RR Broker database, which is automatically downloaded into everybody's systems. They buy monthly updates from Boker. So Amazon literally lists everything. Amazon, this business model is they get a monthly update from Boker, and it doesn't matter if they have a realistic chance of getting that product or not, it's on their database, it's suddenly available on Amazon.com. I know some publishers that publish games who refuse to sell to Amazon because Amazon will take the things and sell them at 30-40% off. And there's independent retailers that buy them for about 45% off from the distributors who refuse to stock the games if Amazon's selling it for 40% off, because they have no way to make money and compete on that. So they just won't do it. Publishers won't actually sell to Amazon, but their products are still listed on Amazon.com. It's kind of just an automatic thing. And if your book is being distributed by somebody like Lightning Source or something like that, it has the power to be special ordered. that capacity. If some manager at Barnes & Noble or Borders suddenly kind of stumbles upon your book and says, oh, I really like this, they can order it. They'll bring in six copies, and they'll be printed on demand, and they'll come in. And that is a way that you can market your book, too. You can market your book aggressively by, if you want to create opportunities to open doors to get it on bookstore shelves, most likely it's not going to kind of just happen. It's going to be like, okay, I got my book, I'm going to go to the local manager of the Barnes & Noble or the Borders or the Books A Million, if you're out where all the Books A Million chains are, and you're going to have to sell your book to that manager, and most likely that manager might go, well, okay, let me see a copy of it and see if they like it or not, and then they'll fire it up the chain, they'll special order from the pod producer, 1, 2, 3, 6, whatever their confidence is, they'll bring it in, and they'll test market it. And most of the time, that's as far as that's going to go. But if you can do that with, say, 5, 10, 20 stores, get all those managers on board, and get a sales record performance, get them all to gather all that information together, then you can make a case by going to the buyer. And then it doesn't matter. At that point, if they're really interested in your product, it doesn't matter who's distributing it. You can sell it to them direct. You can sell direct to Borders. You can sell direct to Barnes & Noble. You know, if you've got the right contact number over there, you know who the buyer is for your particular channel or whatever the category of your product is. If it's something they can sell and they got a sales record already of a test model, whether you engineered it or they engineered it, if they have a confidence that it'll sell in 10 or 20 stores, then you've just made your case for getting into 200 stores, 300 stores. I don't know. There's not a lot to go over. I don't want to get into the technicals of printing books because it's not really all that relevant to the authors. You guys need books. But if you have any questions about any part of the process of the printing or print on demand or anything like that, I'm here to field them. Yes.
When it comes to not only having the hard copy but also an e-book online, do you accommodate the format to allow it to be in both forms?
Well, we currently don't sell e-products through our own store. We're actually getting ready to roll out a new e-commerce store. Our other company has made its living on selling direct to the customer through the internet. We used to sell through distributors and in a lot of hobby stores, and that was always like pulling teeth. The internet is really a great opportunity for independent authors. If you can build yourself a web page and get out there and market that thing, you have access direct to the customer that you don't have all these decision makers in your way blocking your opportunity. So it's a great way to do it. And there are a lot of, it's a growing market for sure, e-product download markets. But each vendor that sells e-products is different. Like Amazon is supporting a version called Mobi Pocket or something like that, right? I can tell you, I've tried to format one of my PDF books into a Mobi Pocket book. Not fun. It's a very unique format because it's designed to be printed and read on little screens about this big. You know, that's the whole way. You know, there's Adobe and various download sites that will download Adobe formatted. Just, you're talking about just PDFs. I mean, it's the most widely accepted format. And frankly, most any printer that wants your product, that's going to print your book, is going to want you to have your book saved as a PDF. And with all the fonts embedded, and so there's no, because if you don't, it's just an option with saving a PDF through most programs. It says click embed fonts, and basically that just takes all your fonts and turns them into images. So when the next computer loads up, it doesn't go, oh, I need this font, this font, this font, this font to open this document the way it was designed. And if you don't have those fonts on that particular computer, then it substitutes different fonts, which can change your entire layout of your book, because every font has different width, sizes, and so on and so forth. So printers will almost always ask for embedded fonts, and these days a PDF. I know Kinko's, just printing regular documents, has moved to the point where they charge you like a $3.50 surcharge if you bring them a document that's not a PDF to print. You bring them a Word document, you bring them an Excel spreadsheet. If it's not a PDF, they're charging you more.
Yes, they have a software where you can print your document to their software, and then you can take that format straight to them, and it's no problem for them. Right. They were giving it away a while ago. Usually at the store, but I think you have to get it online now. And you can actually just, instead of going to the store, you can send it to a particular store and it'll be ready.
And that works out really well.
Right. And that whole process is simply to avoid font substitutions and other kind of changes that happen in a document when you go from one computer to another. Because there are literally hundreds of thousands of different fonts between your TrueType fonts and specially designed fonts and so on and so forth. No printer in the world is going to have them all.
When you give documents, do you want the colors embedded as well?
You mean a color profile like CMYK or
RGB? Yeah, like when you do a PDF, because I know when I've submitted some things, they say make sure you have the colors embedded as well as the fonts.
Honestly, with our printer, it doesn't matter. You're basically talking about embedding your color profile, I believe.
Yeah.
What we print on the Xerox digital printers, I think, and they can print an RGB layout form or a CMYK. Honestly, most of them.
There's a PDF format called PDF X1A/2001, which includes all the color embedded information. And if you're printing a color book with Lightning Source, you gotta go PDF X1A/2001.
Okay. Good to know. I'm actually not very familiar with that at all, I have an idea what printers they're using. I've heard that Lightning Source uses the gigantic Hewlett-Packard systems. It's a little bit different. That's kind of where we're a little bit of a different animal. We're a small company, and we don't actually run a gigantic warehouse, and every other pod printer that I know of right now, there's one way to access them, online. You get an email, you get a phone. We're trying something a little different with the business we're doing here. Is we've got all of our print and binding equipment right there in the store. We don't outsource anything. You bring it in. Maybe you want to sit there and watch us print books. You can do that.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
You do all your printing here.
We do all of our printing right out of the store. Mass
Pads.
Discount
to the shipping.
If somebody wants to pick it up, then there is no shipping. You know, so that is a savings. Yeah, if we have 100 books printed somewhere, and you're going to pay in UPS rates to have it shipped. If you want to take a drive up to Madison Heights, then that's your shipping expense, whatever it costs you to drive there. Any other questions about print on demand? I did just occur to me that there's a couple things I should say that we do a little different than other pod printers, besides the fact that we actually now have a physical interface for people to store, for people to engage us with. All these digital printers, honestly, they actually have the capability of telling what is a color and what is a black and white page by automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Every single other pod out there that I know of will not charge you for black and white pages and color pages mixed in your book. There's a reason for that, and it's simply a file formatting issue. Some PDF, some programs that export PDFs or save PDFs don't distinguish between black and white and color profiles properly. But the printers can take a look at those color profiles and go, oh, this is a black and white page. This is a color page. Well, we, as a printer, we all have service providers. We have to have contracts with people who will service our printers, and we have to get our printer supplies and toner, things like that, under contract. Usually those contracts involve a certain per page rate that we pay for every page printed off that. We will get one cheap rate for black and white and a more expensive rate for color. So, and it's going to be the same with Lulu, Lightning Source. They all have their contracts may be different, but they're getting charged one rate for black and white and one rate for color. There's cost differences there. They all have the capability of potentially printing you a mixed color book. They don't want to do it because there's labor involved with file checking to make sure the thing is set up right to be able to handle that. We had a customer earlier this year. Before we opened the store here, we actually were running our pod operation out of our home for the first 6 months of its life. Crowded. But we had a customer we had to work with a little bit. We actually had to do some test prints. To give us a book, we go, okay, well, here's a color page and a black and white page next to each other. Run them both and see what the machine's accounting tells us. We can work with any publisher that wants to do mixed color in a book. I can't guarantee that we're going to get it right the first time because your files may not be being exported with the right color profile from whatever program you're using. And we're still in the process of figuring out which PDF programs like to play nice with color profiles and which ones don't. So it's a little bit of an experimental process, but we actually have an example of this. This is a gentleman that lives up in Canada, and this is a book that we printed for him. And he had this thing printed with Lulu before the recent price increase, and he has about one-third of the pages in his book are color, and the other two-thirds are black and white. Well, we worked with him to get it set up right so we could print it and give him proper accounting, charge him for the color pages, color, charge him for the black and white. And, you know, with Lulu at the time, this book we could only be printed all color. Mm-hmm. It was costing $51 a book. 270-page book, all color. And we got it from, because we were able to get the accounting right, and well, we're honestly, we're a little bit cheaper than Lulu anyways because we are the printer, we're not the middleman. We got it down to 16.
That's pretty good.
And it's kind of pricey still because it's got a lot of color. I mean, a book like here, a book like this, which is 8.5 by 11. Oh yeah, I have a hard time talking about page counts because he plays funny with his page numbers. But about 120 pages or something. This would be, boy, I mean, we're at, what, 2.2 cents a page, so you're looking at, well, my math's bad on Sundays, but, I mean, you're looking at like $3, something like that, $2.50 plus, and we just have a flat rate charge for the binding, and not $5.50, not $6.50, or whatever large blue is charging. It's like $1 for a perfect bind, and then a cover or a black and white charge for the cover. Anyways, I don't know if anybody else has any other questions about POD.
I'll stop you here. I have two books I need for an active three.
Okay.
A 6x9, 200 pages. Black and white.
Did anybody hand up? Did they ever get the little handout we brought?
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at it, but I'm not fast enough. I'm
looking for okay. Well, unfortunately, I didn't bring a calculator. What is our page rate for 6x9? Anybody got
6x9, all black and white. That's fine.
Unfortunately, I have some of our books. Like the most common book we print for game with our game companies is this is like it's like almost universal format the retailers want. They don't like the little books. I'm not talking about the book market. I'm talking about the hobby game market. So don't worry about that. It's a different market. So I mean, right now we print like 90% of the books we print are this format. So yeah, I get that one on top of my head. But the other formats, I don't have to look at my price list. Six by nine. Our black and white page rate for 6x9. Well, we have three price listings here. I mean, until just recently we used to do just 10 books plus. We wouldn't even do less than that. 100. Well, 100 gives you actually a 5% discount over our wholesale rate. Our wholesale rate starts at 10 books. You just 10 books, you get basically near our best pricing. You get a little bit. You get a 5% discount at 100, and a 10% discount at 250. And if you're printing more than 250, I'm confident to tell you, yeah, you're going to get a better deal with an offset press somewhere along the line here. Okay. Well, we were at 2 cents a page. How many pages?
200.
So $4 plus a perfect bind of $1 and a cover of 70 cents. So 570 less 5%.
Authors Access Live is a production of AuthorsAccess.com. Thank you for listening to our podcast. I'm your host, Victor Volkman. Please send your questions and comments to us by email to info@AuthorsAccess.com. Authors Access is where authors get published and published authors get successful. Be sure to check out our new book, Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers from Modern History Press.